I'm Alison Smith, and welcome to my Landscaping Your Life podcast, where I help you to get back on track when you don't know what to do. In this series, I'm going to be exploring the language that you use when you're stuck and use it as a hint to find solutions. So when you can't see the wood for the trees, you're going to go out into a wood and see what insight that wood may have that you can then apply to your situation. When I'm stuck in a rut, I'm going to go and stand in a rut. If I'm treading water, yes, you've guessed it. I'm going to go and tread water in the sea and share with you the insight that you can then apply to your current situation. The best way of using metaphor to solve problems is to not try and keep going between the metaphor and the problem. It's not about going, here's my problem. Oh, Alison's just said get a map. How do I apply the map to my situation? It's very much about putting the problem to the back of your mind and then fully diving into the metaphor. So diving into the wood that you can't see the trees for, exploring the wood, noticing the, even walking up some paths, joining with me as we think about cutting some of those trees back or climbing a tree, for instance. You're going to get much more from it the more distance you can have from the problem. It's much easier to then later on think about how to apply all that lovely metaphorical solutions and how to apply it to the real life situation. Welcome to this summary of series two of my Landscaping Your Life podcast. It would seem I thought I'd got an extra one to go, but I tried recording it. I've tried grounded. I feel going under the weather. I've tried testing the water. I've tried a number, and I know myself well enough to know that I'd just be going through the motions and ticking boxes rather than adding insight. So I'm finishing one episode early, and today is just a summary of sharing with you highlights from all of the episodes in this second series. And episode 21 does the same for the first series. The premise of the whole of this series has certainly been about taking an idiom that describes how we're feeling, that it contains some form of landscape within the words that we're using. So if we can't see the wood for the trees, going around in circles, beating ourselves up with a stick, putting a head above the parapet, that we actually go out into nature and explore the situation metaphorically. And it's because sometimes we can get so stuck in our stuckness, we can get stuck in the detail of the problem, that we can't see the wood for the trees. We can't get back on track because we can't put a head up. I suppose we're not putting a head above the parapet to see what there is to see. We can't see all the opportunities. All we can see is we're looking down and we can see our stuckness and the lack of opportunities. And sometimes when we've got so into that stuckness and so into the detail of why we're stuck and why, of course, there aren't any options, it's really difficult to see any. And therefore, going metaphorical allows a different part of our brain. We send logic on a holiday, really, and we use a different part of our brain to access those solutions. So, as is the case with every episode you listen to, it's always much easier to make sense of it when you've got a problem you're trying to get new insight about. It's no use listening to it if you haven't got a problem. It's a bit academic. It feels a bit theoretical and a bit weird. Whereas when you've got a situation that you're trying and you're grappling with and you're stuck about and don't know what to do about, it's much easier to then be able to say, oh, actually, listening to Alison, yeah, I did get a different insight from it, and therefore find out and consider what to do differently. And what you're going to hear now is a little bit more about the process from episode 28, when I was talking about not being able to see the wood for the trees.
Having written a book called Can't See the Wood for the Trees and having explored the metaphor with many coaching clients or workshop group about Can't See the Wood for the Trees, such a great example. I've got lots of ideas in my head about what normally works if you can't see the wood for the trees. And yet the whole theme of the podcasts in this series, or the episodes in this series, are about noticing what I notice in this wood today, now. And I found myself saying to somebody the other week that it never fails to amaze me how somebody who can't see the wood for the trees finds new insight from being out in nature that I've never heard before. That even in 20 years of doing it with people, in the 3 years since my book, in the podcasts, everybody comes out of the situation from with their own problem that they can't see the wood for the trees, and therefore the patterns are different for them, and therefore they notice different patterns. Today, and therefore it's with what's ever going on in my life at this moment in time, I'm drawn to the fact that I'm trying to see if I look that way. So for the podcast, then it just looks like there's trees that go on and on and on, and I, you know, but actually there's an element of, if I look that way, it's really easy to get lost and confused and, well, I don't know, what tree do I focus on that tree? Do I focus on that tree? Which tree do I focus on? How big is it? Will I get lost if I go in that direction? Will I get more lost if I go in that direction? So there is something about, yeah, I suppose not blundering on, really, that it'd be really easy for me to buy into this lostness and then just keep focusing on lost.
The next couple of extracts from episodes, there's a theme to them, and it's actually a theme that were in a number of other episodes too. And that was about taking time to stop walking, to look around, and I suppose take time out from all the busyness, to find calm in the landscape in order to be able to see what you're not noticing. So the first extract is from episode 22, where I explored being between a rock and a hard place. And then the next extract is from Treading Water, which is episode 23, when I was swimming in the Firth of Forth.
If I look round, because there's one place that I would like to get to, and as I look round, I would say there's about 98% of the time I can't do it. It's as if my mind is going, oh, I can't get down that rock face. I can't do that. That would be impossible. My knee's going to hurt. But if I stood up and took enough time, I would be able to find a route through between the rock and the hard place. So there is a route, and there is a route that I would find easy. The saying that I'm reflecting today is treading water, and I've just got into the Forth of Firth. The water's about 6 degrees. It's about 6 degrees air temperature, but the sea is calm can be, and the sun is just rising. But my hands are cold, because in order to hold the camera, I'm having to, not got my gloves on. And I'm treading water. And if I tread water for any length of time, I'm going to get quite tired. And so I think the aim is, what happens if I float and stop treading water? It saves energy. And even if I didn't have the wetsuit on, there's a sense of, even if I didn't have my wetsuit on, there's a sense of buoyancy. If we float, if we lie back and allow that to be held by the water. So when we're treading water, how can you lie back? How can you allow the water to take the strain rather than all of that exertion and effort?
I have no idea what people thought if they'd actually seen what I was doing, because the next extract comes from seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And I went and found a fairly short tunnel in some woods and was going backwards and forwards and recording and seeing what it felt like. And it was really interesting just to notice the difference between having walked the tunnel the first time versus the third or fourth time. And sometimes I was going the different direction. And as you'll hear in this extract, and sometimes I close my eyes.
You and I, we've been back and a few times. I wondered what would happen if I actually close my eyes as I go through this tunnel. What happens to the light? Where's my focus of attention? I'm not going as quick, obviously. But where's my focus of attention? That's interesting, because it's like, certainly more aware of the undulating ground beneath my feet. I'm using my hand on the inside wall of the tunnel. So I've just got to the U bit because I can feel the angle change just coming out of it. So it is interesting, isn't it? How often are we looking for the light at the end of the tunnel with our eyes closed? And that actually we just need to open our eyes to see the light. Because actually having our eyes closed certainly slowed me down.
Our mind is brilliant at nudging us to notice things, and it's quite often not when we expect it. So there's quite a lot of times in episodes where I'm either heading back to the car, I think I've finished the recording and I'm heading back to the car, I'm even in the car, or in one instance, driving out of the car park, and then I had to stop in order to record what I share with you. So what's coming up are extracts from episode 25, which is all about an uphill struggle, building a bridge, episode 26, episode, oh, what's Crossroads? So dark. 27. Episode 27. Can't really read my own writing. Episode 27, Crossroads, and Putting the Stick Down, which was episode 29. So these were all ahas. And the last one about putting your stick down was huge for me. And I've used it with so many clients since that it's, yeah, quite profound, I would say. See what you think.
While I'm here, and I have got to the top of the hill, and it's also the top of the cliff, while I'm here, I'm just going to demonstrate something that when I wrote my book, Can't See the Wood for the Trees, I was very taken aback from, really, which is currently, I'm at the top of the cliff, and I can see the cliff edge, and I can see the beautiful view and the sun, and oh God, it's just stunning, in front of me. And what I'm going to do is stand up and I'm going to turn my back to the cliff edge, and I don't even want to turn around. I mean, bizarrely, I don't even want to do that. Oh my God, I don't like doing that at all. There is definitely something really oh my God, that's horrible. I could have sat where I was looking out at the view for hours and been really quite happy. And at this precise moment, every part of my body wants to run away from the edge. So I don't know how that, or whether that relates to an uphill struggle in terms of, I don't know, perhaps we don't want to always get to the top of the hill because we're worried about what we're going to get to. But there's an element of facing our fear, oh my God, not turning our back on it. So if it's an uphill struggle, and as I said right at the beginning, what do we need to do it? Is it too easy perhaps to say, I'm not going to even try? Are you sure you've got to build a bridge? There's a bridge here. But if you look there, you'd actually be able to walk down this bank really, really easily, go across the river, and then fairly easily walk up the other side. So if it's only a short term or a testing the water sort of, sorry, that's made me laugh. If it's a testing the water sort of situation where you're just wanting to see the lay of the land, then why don't you do that? Why don't you walk down the bank, traverse across the stream and come up the other side, rather than and see whether or not it's worth building the more longer term and robust bridge.
I'm sitting in the car park at the bottom of a hill, halfway up a hill, but the last bit of the hill you have to walk, but where I'm parked I can actually see the whole hill, and I can see all the different paths, and I can see a couple of people walking down it, and they're taking completely different routes, and yet they're both going to end up in the car park. So I wonder what it's like if you could go and look at, either get a map or stand far enough away from a route to be able to get that sense that I can see here of, you know, one of the walkers obviously decided to go straight on, the other decided to go left, and therefore in a minute one will have to go left again and the other will have to go right, and to just see the fact that all routes can still get to this car park, all routes get you to the same place. So to again minimize that decision that you've blown up into it being make or break, life or death sort of decision. So very rarely, I'm not saying that they're not always, but very rarely are they that big. I'm laughing. I'm here. I literally was leaving the car park and then looked around and thought, there are no sticks up here. And of course, I'm at the top of a hill and there are no sticks, because of course sticks come from trees. So there's an element of that we can't beat ourselves up if we're at the top of if we're at a vantage point. We can only beat ourselves up if we're storing our sticks and keeping them on our person somewhere, and we've got a little store that we can pull out. But otherwise we have to be in a wood in order to pick up a stick to beat ourselves with. So avoid the woods. Come up to the vantage points up here, the high vantage points, and then you won't actually beat yourself up.
What I've found more so with this series of podcasts is that I suppose because I've purposely gone out with the intention of getting insight about a particular idiom, and I've quite often spent quite a bit of time therefore in the landscape recording and musing and mulling over, that the next couple of extracts are more general thoughts that I've had when I've been sitting there. So the first ones was after I'd recorded about being pulled through a hedge backwards, but it was an insight I got about not being anywhere near a hedge, I suppose, on St. Andrew's Beach, but the being pulled through a hedge backwards is episode 30. And certainly there's something around that precision of language as well that comes out, both in the Crossroads episode that I mentioned earlier, but also in Missing the Tide and Turning a Corner. So Missing the Tide is episode 34, Turning a Corner 35. So consider, I suppose, about what you think as you hear the extracts, or whether or not you can be a bit more precise about how you're feeling. I also mentioned it in the Crossroads. Yeah, definitely in the Crossroads, where it was that, well, not at the crossroads. It might be I'm at a crossroads, but I can't see the wood for the trees. And so therefore the solution's going to come if you can be precise about the language. If you think you're at a crossroads and you're trying to examine the crossroads isn't going to give you any insight if actually what you are is can't see the wood for the trees. But see what you think about these three extracts.
As I sit here on St. Andrew's Beach, I'm also reminded about the fact that there's always insights to be found from other sayings. So although I do get very precise about, are you at a crossroads? Is it that you can't see the wood for the trees? Or are you going round in circles? Because having made a decision about each of those enables you to find the solutions. But there's also something about taking a situation like feeling like you're going through a hedge backwards and going, so what would happen if I applied the insight from Can't See the Wood for the Trees about finding a path, getting to higher ground, seeing the bigger picture, cutting some stuff back, focusing on what you want, you know, focusing on a tree at a time. How do all of those insights apply to the situation that you feel like you've been pulled through a hedge backwards? As I sit here, I'm currently surrounded by beach. I mean, literally, I've gone and plonked myself in the middle of the sand. There's very few people here, but I've not plonked myself at the back by the sand dunes. I'm in the middle of the sand. And so, as I've said for a future podcast, which is about putting your head above the parapet, but it's also true about being dragged through a hedge backwards, is that currently I am nowhere near a hedge. So if life feels like you're being pulled through a hedge backwards, how can you avoid the hedges? How can you get yourself, like I am now, completely away from? I mean, literally, I don't know. The sand dunes, the sand, the sea. I mean, there is not a hedge in sight. So how can you emulate that? How can you replicate that in the situation that you feel like you've been dragged through a hedge backwards?
I talk a lot on podcasts about precision of language and going back to the boat stuck on the sand. It's now high and dry. And I wonder whether when somebody says, oh, I've missed the tide, and we're focusing metaphorically, but also in real life, trying to solve the problem of having missed the tide. Whereas actually the problem now is that you're high and dry. So yeah, precision of language. It was the same conversation I had when it was at a crossroads episode, where it was, are we at a crossroads, or is it the fact that we can't see the wood for the trees, or is it the fact that we're going round in circles? There's a precision, certainly when we're using the language, the landscape hidden in our language, there's a precision needed in order to be able to use the right landscape. Otherwise, we're looking in the wrong place for the solution. We're looking and making it all about the tide. And in this instance, the problem is that they're high and dry. They're nowhere near the tide. And therefore, it's how do they get to the water? Just leaving the car park, headed towards a walk along a stream. And not thinking about turning a corner. And turning a corner is normally that we want to go in a different direction. The fact we want to leave something behind. But again, it's the, you know, I'm walking around this corner, the path, there's only one way. So we're already on the path. So we have to be careful, I think, about thinking that when we turn a corner, that it's going to provide us with a lot different, because we've been on this path. I suspect very rarely a path straight all the time, and therefore this path would have been twisted and turned and will have turned many a corner and not noticed it. So what is it about the path at the moment that means that we're desperate to turn it or turn another corner? And is turning that next corner going to really give us what we want? So how can we be really clearer about what we want?
As we head to the end, these next three extracts all have in common the embodying of the situation. It's about, if you're going round in circles, go out and embody that circling, walk the circling. If you're feeling lost, go out into nature and sort of purposefully get yourself lost. And if you want to get back on track, again, explore the track, go and find a track and explore being on and off it and what it feels like to be back on it or back off it. There's an element of the insight comes because we're embodying it. It's like our brain can't make sense of our situation and therefore can't necessarily, you know, when we're lost, our brain can't make sense of it. It feels stuck. But if we can go out into nature and get lost,
It's as if we can find the solutions out there in nature that we can then bring back to the real life situation we're feeling lost about and go, oh, I'm not lost really. It's just that I can't see the track, or I'm looking for a track that's not there. The criteria I'm using for the track is different. Listen to the extracts and see what you think.
If you like going round in circles, then embody that circle. So go outside, preferably, but you can do it inside. And you can do it drawing. You can do it with a pen. But draw or walk the circle. And you might notice the size of the circle that you're drawing around in. Or you might notice the speed with which you're going. Or the direction in which you're going. And as you notice what you notice about that circle, I'd encourage you to change direction. What happens when you change direction? When you, I've already noticed in this particular path that as soon as I've changed direction, I've sort of stopped. And I have absolutely noticed that with individuals. So don't think it's strange when it's like, oh yeah, change direction and I've stopped. So what does that, how can you relate that to, back to the situation that you felt like you were going around in circles in? However, it's not always that simple, but I have known it to happen that quickly where somebody's just gone, oh, I can't go in the opposite direction. Great, I'll just, that's me stopped. What I'd highly recommend, whether what I've said has resonated, already given you actions, already sent you off in a particular direction of exploration to see whether or not that insight may uncover what you need to do next, is go out into nature, to stand in nature, to look around you, and to either imagine being lost in that place and going, what do I do to not be lost in this location? Or, and I don't mention it very often in the podcast, or to do what I would say is more of a generic landscaping your life walk, which is to take the problem, take the situation on a walk with you, to think of the situation, to put it at the back of your mind, and then to go for a walk and just notice what you notice. Here I am at, where am I?
Falls of Brewer.
Falls of Brewer. And in order to, because we've got up one side and we're doing a loop, and in order to keep on track, I'm actually having to go backwards because my knees find it easier to go down backwards. So when you're back on track, how might that require you to go backwards?
I'll put a link to how to do a landscaping your life walk in the comments. This final extract is from quite a profound episode where I went and used the landscape to depict the gap between where I was and where I want to be. And I was on St. Andrews, St. Andrews Beach, as a number of I have been for this podcast series. And what I ended up doing, I expected, I suppose, to go and find a gap, a sort of more pronounced gap, whether it was a gap between one rock and another rock, or from one side of a river to another side of the river, etc. But what it ended up being was me going, where I'm sitting now on this side of the beach reflects where I am. And that place there, the other side of the beach, is where I want to be. And what I'm going to do is allow myself and allow that landscape to represent that situation and to go for that walk and to leave behind where I was and leave my seat behind and physically stand up and walk to the water's edge, which I was saying was representing where I wanted to be, and to then notice what happened when I got there and notice what happened when I looked back to where I'd been, and then notice what happened when I walked more along the water's edge and explored what it was like to be where I said I wanted to be, and to then go back to the place that represented where I was before I started, that situation that I was wanting to bridge the gap between, and to notice what I notice. And in this extract, and in some respects, because it's only an extract, you can't hear the difference between how I'm sounding at the beginning of the episode versus how I'm sounding at the end. But what I am doing is sharing with you that sense of something has gone. The stuckness and the fear and the rigidity has disappeared. So just listen and to how I experienced the end of having done what I am encouraging you to do all the time, which is go out into nature and allow nature to be a metaphor for how you're feeling. The interesting thing about this final episode, which actually is that I'm talking about, is episode 38, is it's about bridging the gap. And I've got, starting on the 5th of September, and just in case you're listening to this a lot later, this is the 5th of September, 2022. I've got a program starting called Take a Giant Leap, and it's about helping you bridge that gap. And it's going to be using all the tools and techniques that I used in the first series of my podcast and also this second series. So it's likely to include poems. It's going to include time out in nature, metaphor, drawing, all sorts of things to help you bridge the gap. So if there's anything that you want to bridge the gap, any area of your life where you, I suppose, are tired and just know that you want to be somewhere else and you want a little bit of support and are prepared for something a little bit different, then why don't you have a look at the link, see if it might be for you and get in touch if it might be.
P.S. as I sit here is that it feels as if the fighting and the either clinging onto this side or the desire for the other side and that whole energy sapping will I won't I has gone. It's of course I'm going to do it. And even as I sit here on the beach, it's like, all right, yeah. So the situation I was thinking of, I'm already thinking about writing a list and coming up with an action plan. And it just feels different. That's all I can say. I can't really describe it any more than that. The fight has gone. I don't know. Perhaps it's because I believe it's possible because I've been and done it.
If you've enjoyed this episode of Landscaping Your Life, then do follow my podcast and also have a look in the comments below for other ways of keeping in touch with us.